Jesus said, I give you a peace that the world can't give. See, the world knows no peace with the absence of chaos. I mean, their peace has to be with things working out. But God offers us a peace that no matter what situation that we're facing, no matter what circumstance you're going through, God has the power to grant you a peace in the midst of that situation. Now, John chapter 14, Jesus said again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Now, what is biblical peace? The world's peace is the absence of problems. That's the only way the world knows how to have a peace of mind or being able to control those problems. But what is God talking about? Well, the biblical peace, it comes from the word, the Hebrew, from Greek word, irene. That's also the Hebrew word, shalom. But what it means to be made whole and complete, orderly and stable and poised for a blessing. What God is speaking to our heart is this. He said, I can give you a peace that will put you in a position that if you will allow my peace to rule your heart, that situation will be able to change. In fact, the word shalom in the Bible, which they would greet people, and also it was also the salutation, which it handled four different areas. When we find in the Old Testament the word peace, what it says is that God wants to grant us a relationship with Him. Number two, God wants to grant us good relationship with people. Number three, God wants to give us prosperity. Number four, God wants to give us health. And there is a really fifth reason even in there. It said God wants us to win every battle. So when we find the biblical word of peace, it's not just being able to put up with the rotten here and now. It's being able to use something that God has powerfully given us that is able to change our rotten here and now to a beautiful thereafter for the glory of God. So I just want to give you that this morning. And we're going to come and we're going to be sharing with you today three different ways how we can get that peace operating in our life. If you would like to have the peace of God no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, if you would like to have a sense that God is under control, see, our peace is based on the promise of God. It's not based on the things we see. So let's give attention this morning.
You know, hundreds of years before that first Christmas morning, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "For unto us a child will be born, unto us a son will be given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You finish it out with me. The Prince of Peace. On that first Christmas in that stable, God sent the gift of His Son to be the manifestation of the Prince of Peace. As the angels proclaimed to the shepherds on the hillside that night, peace on earth. God wanted there to be peace on this earth. How many of you know He made us out of earth? Man is dust. Jesus came to proclaim that the Father wanted His children to live in and experience the peace that only heaven could bring. This isn't just a good message this morning. How many of you know that everyone on this planet is searching for this gift we call peace? How many of you want peace in your life? This is the most over-medicated generation. We have everything we think we could possibly need, yet so many people are depressed and anxious and nervous. And we find ways to try to treat all the symptoms, but there's only one answer, and that is the Prince of Peace. The Father has given and made accessible to His children this gift called peace. So if we're not experiencing peace in our lives as believers, then we have to stop and ask ourselves this question, why? Because if God has given the gift of peace and we're not experiencing it, then we're not waiting on God. We got to look at what we're not doing if we're not experiencing the gift of peace. Because although peace is available to every believer, it's not automatic. We have to access it. If someone gives you a present, it's great to get the gift, but it's even better to experience what's in the gift. The gift of peace has been given. And no matter what our circumstances, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're up against, it doesn't matter what our story is, there is a peace that comes from God that can impact our life in such a way that it would transform things. I wrote down a definition of peace that goes like this. It's wholeness and completeness and tranquility in our soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. Wouldn't it be good to be walking through life with a completeness and a wholeness in our lives that comes only from God? That is completely unaffected by what our boss says or does, or what our coworker says or does, or what our bank account looks like. We can live in a state of peace if we learn how to access and open and unwrap the wonderful gift that the Prince of Peace has left for us. You know, when Paul was writing about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, one of the pieces of armor that he describes it like this. He says, there are shoes of peace. And how many of you know that shoes don't do me any good until I put them on? I got to step into those shoes. We have to learn how to step into the shoes of peace. And when we step into those shoes of peace, no matter where we walk or what we walk through, we can walk through it with the peace that comes from our Father. See, God has given us steps that you and I are to take that will allow us to step into His peace. We're going to mention three of those. The first one real quickly is this, that thinking right as God thinks brings God's peace into my life. If we want to experience God's peace, we have to learn to think God's thoughts. And He gave us a whole book of His thoughts. He took His thoughts and He put them in English in written form so that we could know how He thinks. And He says that if we want to experience peace in our situation and in our life, then we have got to begin to think the way that God thinks. The book of Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7 says that as we think in our heart, so we are. That as we begin to think a certain way, it won't be long till we'll begin to feel that way on the inside. If I think depressing thoughts, I'll begin to feel depressed, and then I'll begin to act depressed. As we begin to think thoughts of peace, and we begin to think the thoughts of God, we will begin to experience the peace of God, and we'll be able to walk that peace out in our life. But we've got to begin to think like God says to think. God says if we're going to change anything everything in our life, according to Romans chapter 12, it begins with renewing our mind. And a lot of us here this morning, if we pass the microphone around, we probably would, many of us, plead guilty to the fact that we let our thoughts control us instead of us controlling our thoughts. And God says, as long as we allow our thoughts to control us, we're going to be in a state of anxiety and uncertainty, and we will never experience the gift of peace that He has given to us. It's only when we begin to take control of what we allow to go through our mind that we will begin to experience the peace that God has for us. In Isaiah 26:3, and this is kind of the center point of my point, this verse right here, if you take anything away from what I'm saying, let it be this. It says that God will keep those in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. Not just peace, but perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him. It doesn't say that you can engineer your circumstances, or you can get somebody to change, or you can move to a better location. It says if we want to be in perfect peace, that the key to stepping into those shoes of peace, to be able to walk that out, is to anchor our thoughts to God. To set our mind and to set our affection on God. And we begin to think about who He is. And when we begin to think about who He is, when I have a sickness going on in my life or my family, and I begin to think about Him as the healer and not about the sickness that I'm facing, how many of you know the peace of God will begin to arise in my heart? When I'm facing a financial difficulty that I can't see my way through, if I sit there and I think about what I'm facing, if I think about the dilemma, if I think about the problem, then I will find my place, find myself in a place of anxiety and fear and worry. But God says that if I will begin to think about Him and think about who He is, He is my provider. He is my deliverer. He is my way maker. He is the El Shaddai God who is more than enough. And regardless of what my circumstances are like today, if I will anchor my mind on Him, He says that He will keep us in perfect peace. If our mind is stayed upon Him. Another version says that for all those who fix their thoughts on You. Because here's the bottom line. How many of you know that there's very little that we can do about our circumstances or the people that are around us? We can spend all of our energy and all of our resources and all of our time trying to get the outward circumstances to change. But 99% of the things that we walk through in life, we have no control over. But there is one thing that you and I have control over in the midst of our storm, and that is what we think about. And the spiritual principle that God has given us is this, that if we will take the step into the shoes of beginning to think what He says think about, we begin to think about who He is, and let me tell you this, about what He has done. How many of you, God done something good for you? How many of you guys have been faithful to You? All throughout His Word, He said, remember what I have done. Remember what I have done. You may look out to the external circumstances and you may say, this is a mess. This is chaos. But God didn't promise us there wouldn't be any chaos in life. He just said that He could bring a calm in the midst of our chaos. So that no matter our circumstances, if we were reflect and think about what He has done, God, You did it before, and I know You're going to do it again. And if we can think those thoughts, it will bring me peace in this moment. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, it says, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on the true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Today you might not can do anything about your circumstances, but you can guard your mind. You can fix your thoughts on the things of God. It says this, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from Me. Everything you heard from Me and saw Me doing, He says, then the God of peace will be with you. All of us can step into the shoes of peace if we will begin to guard the gate of our mind, and we will begin to make the choice that no matter what we're walking through, we're going to fix our mind on God, on His promises. Because let me just say this in closing. Peace is not the absence of something. We just think many times, if this would just go away, then I would be at peace. See, peace is never the absence of something. Rather, peace is the presence of someone.
of these came bursting through the wind. The violent sky held its breath, and in your light I found rest. Found yours shining like the
the Lord. God is good. Amen. All the time. And I'm telling you, peace is such an important gift that God has given to us. And you know, especially when we're going through trials and when we're going through storms, how many of you know you need God's peace? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you ever been in a storm? How many of you just coming out of a storm? How many of you in a storm right now? Well, you need God's peace. Amen. Amen. So trust in God brings God's peace. That is point two in your notes. Amen. Trusting in God and activating that trust through vibrant, faith-releasing prayer brings God's peace in your life. Amen. And see, we have to trust God. And we have to have faith in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. This is what Paul says. He says, I pray that God, who is the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Amen. When you trust in God, then joy will come and hope will come. Amen. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to rest in him. Then he goes on to say, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. You know, your journey to peace begins when you trust God in every situation or circumstance that you go through. Then the Holy Spirit will come into your situation and he will surround you with his peace. Amen. How many of you know we need to be surrounded by his peace? Amen. Not the peace that the world gives, but God, the peace that God, only God can give us. Amen. And then guess what? See, when that peace comes, you will sense, God, the battle is not mine. The battle is not yours any longer. It's the Lord's. Amen. How many want to give your battles to the Lord? Oh, yes, God, take my battle because I really don't want it. Do you? I mean, we can just rest in peace and just thank God while we are going through the battle that God is surrounding us with his peace. You will experience peace as you have faith in God. I mean, you got to have faith in God. You know, because the Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. When we come to him, we must believe that he is and he is a rewarder. Everybody say God is a rewarder. Oh, he loves to reward his children. To reward us, amen. He rewards our faith. He is a good God. He's a good God. And then we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. You know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. You know, because it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And then he says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. I mean, you know, that's some good news. That's some good news. Amen. We don't want to worry. Let's say, how many know Jesus said we have what we say? Let's say this. I won't worry about anything. I'll pray about everything. I'll tell God what I need. And I'll thank him for what he has done. Let's give the Lord a hand on that script. That's some powerful words. Some powerful words that he has given to us. I'm telling you. So just don't worry about it. You know, just say it's when something comes, it's like, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, I remember a long time ago when Don and I, you know, we were, you know, trying to raise these four children, you know, and sometimes money get tight, you know, and Don's like, you know, me and they always worry about the bills, you know, worry about the money. And so anyway, and I would say, well, honey, when do you get paid? Well, I get paid next Wednesday. I said, well, don't worry about it until next Wednesday. Don't think about it until next Wednesday. Amen. So when we do that, then verse 7 tells us, says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I mean, you know, when you get in the peace of God, you may not understand it. And people can't understand why are you able to go through what you're going through with such peace. And you know what? They'll ask you, and you said, I don't know. It's just God. It's just God. Everybody say, it's just God. It's just God. He's going to keep our heart. He's going to guard our hearts and our minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, I need the Lord to guard my mind. especially, you know, when the devil's shooting all these thoughts in my mind. And I'm telling you, listen, that word guard is a military term that means to keep or guard with a military garrison of troops. You know, it's just like some the angels, Lord, and the Holy Spirit are putting gates around my mind. Well, they're keeping me from thinking about all those things, keeping me out of worry. Amen. Keeping those gates strong. So, those thoughts that just bounce off. You know, they come to try to the devil sends those thoughts to your mind and they come to your mind and just bounce off. Amen. And then you just rest in God's peace. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's a good thing to do. Just throw it out of your mind. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes your children say things, you just kind of throw it out of your mind. You know, that's what we're just going to throw it out of our minds, because the peace of God is guarding our minds and guarding our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so then also prayers that are full of faith release God's peace into your life. Now, see, these are prayers that's full of faith, not just prayers. I mean, you know, you can just pray and then, well, what are you doing? I'm just praying. No, our prayers should be full of faith. And when they're full of faith, you know, how many of you know the answer's already on the way? The answer's already on the way. And so you can just look for it and see when you look for it, full of faith and expectancy. You're expecting it. You know, when a woman is pregnant, you know, she's expecting. We know at some point in time, something's going to arrive. Amen. And so we know when we are full of faith and full of peace, guess what? Something is going to arrive. What we're praying for is going to arrive. It's going to come and you will see it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we refuse to allow worry to invade our lives. We refuse worry. So we refuse. It knocks on your door. He said, no, refused. I refuse you, worry. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then guess what? You will experience God's peace as you learn how to pray in faith. Amen. Learn how to pray in faith and God will answer your prayer. Hallelujah.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
the Lord's kindly putting it together for us. First, we find out, I must think the thoughts of the Lord. I must choose what I think on. And Stephen so beautifully shared that with us. And then Sister Thelma told us how then that we would take that word and we would carry it into our prayer closet and we would speak faith-filled words that would begin to release peace into our life. I want to share with you the third way that we're going to receive peace is hearing God brings peace within. Psalms chapter 85 and verse 8 says, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for He speaks peace to His faithful people. Proverbs 1:33 says, but all who listen to me will live in peace. What happens is this, we begin to renew our mind with the word of the Lord. What that means is, where the enemy is trying to tell us what to think on, and where the circumstances that we're facing is trying to tell us what to think on, we choose to think on what God says about our situation. And as we choose to do that, and then we carry that into our prayer closet with faith-filled words, then God begins to move us, because peace is of the Holy Spirit. It's birthed by the Spirit of God. God's not expecting you to do something you can't do. In fact, God is willing to empower you to do it if we're willing to do it God's way. In the book of Colossians, it gives us a secret of doing it God's way. It says, and let the peace of God, or let the peace that comes from Christ, rule in our hearts. So it tells me that I must let something happen, and at the same time, I must rule something else. I must allow God's thoughts to take residence in my mind. I must let the peace of God rule inside me. And you know, you can change your situation in just a moment. The enemy is trying to tell you that you're going to die, you're not going to make it, your family's never going to be happy, those children are going to never love you, they'll never work out, your situation, your finances, no one will ever help you. And all the lies that the devil has. But you can just stop yourself just for a moment and say, but God, what do you say into my situation? And immediately you will begin to hear things like, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What that does is we begin to meditate on the word of the Lord. It begins to elevate God's nature in our life. And all of a sudden, when the devil comes to tell you how big he is, all of a sudden, because you know how big God is, then you just allow God to step up into your situation and bring the change. And what happens is that begins to release God's peace there. The Bible says, I must let, everybody say let, I must let God's peace be in me. So I must then rule over. That word rule is the word umpire. It's just like you're going into home base and that umpire says, safe. That's what peace does into our situations. When the devil is chasing you, and maybe he's got you around second base and third base, and you're trying to get in home, and about the time you cross that thing, peace sets in and says, safe. You made it through. You made it through that battle, and you made it through that circumstance. Now, peace, by being this, it also conveys a sense of warfare. That there is a warfare that is involved in me keeping peace. And those things seem almost to be oxymorons, don't they? They seem to be opposite of each other. But there's somebody I must war against, and at the same time, I must allow somebody in. I must be willing to war against Satan's lies, and I must be willing to allow God's promises into my life. Amen? In fact, Stephen called it shoes of peace. Those peace shoes, they have spikes on the end of them. Just in a Roman soldier, because that was dealt with Paul in the Roman soldier clad. And in the process of it, a normal pair of shoes that Paul is talking about there has spikes an inch long. As the soldiers would march, they would bury those spikes into the earth beneath them, and it would give them stability. Do you know what you having peace in your situation is going to do? It's going to give you stability. All of a sudden, your emotions won't be ruling you anymore, and the circumstances won't be ruling you anymore, and the devil won't be ruling you anymore. Because what you're doing, you're having peace. Now, when a soldier went into war, those spikes could extend as far out as 3 inches. And what that means is, when you stand on God's promise, when God has promised you something, you've got to dig your feet in. And you've just got to make a decision. Devil, one of us is not going to move. And I'm not going to move. It's going to be you. And that's what the peace of God will come into our life. Because, see, it is amidst a warfare. It is in the midst of fighting. Now, in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, it relates this so well. It tells us exactly how that we can have peace into our life. In Mark chapter 4, verse 37, it says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling with water. But he," talking about Jesus, "was in the stern, asleep on the cushion." Do you know what peace is going to do to you? It's going to make people think you're just asleep in the midst of your situation. You're going to get some of those friends like Job had that's going to come on and say, "You better wake up. You better wake up." No, I better sleep up is what I need to do. I need to keep my peace in the situation. Amen. And so they came to Jesus and they said that he was asleep on a pillow. Notice the next word they said to him, "Don't you care?" See, while you having peace, the devil's going to come along and say, "You don't care. You better get to worrying about this situation. You better put worry over this situation." But God says, "You have my peace. If you will continue to believe my promise to you, despite what you see, despite what you feel, if you will continue to believe my powerful promise to you," God says, "I will never disappoint you." And that's the powerful promise. So what happened was, Jesus got up. And when he got up, he rebuked the disciples. Because he said, "Why were you afraid?" When I don't have peace in my situation, it's because fear has overrode my faith. I've just got to know, if I'm going to win this situation, and life is full of circumstances. I know we all look for that Coca-Cola kind of Christmas, but I want you to know that doesn't exist. Life is complicated, life has situations, and life has circumstances, but God has given us the powerful peace of God that is able to change every circumstance for the glory of God. And so what Jesus did, because Jesus had peace, he had peace even in the midst of his storm, he could sleep. No, I'm sure he had the opportunity to worry, but he just chose not to. I'm sure he had an opportunity to believe that God was going to fail him, but Jesus just chose not to believe that. Jesus chose to believe that his Father was going to be good to him and that he could trust his Father's promises. So there he was, asleep in the midst of the storm, and Jesus got up. And what did he do? He walked right to the front of that boat. He looked at that storm eyeball to eyeball. The first thing he said, "Wind, you be silent." And then he spoke to those waves and he said, "Peace, be still." There's something about, if you've got peace in here, God says, "Here, I'm going to let that peace flow out of you. And that peace that's in here will control to bring peace to your life out here." That's what we got to know. Peace is a power. Everybody say, peace is a power. Not only is peace a serenity, but the peace of God is not only trusting God. The peace of God is the power of God. It's what God wants to use into my situation. If I can be facing whatever it is that I'm facing, and I make a decision not to worry, I make a decision to trust God, I make a decision to believe God, I make a decision just to trust his promise, if I will make that decision, the peace of God, I'll be smiling when people think I should be crying. I'll be in the sense of joy when other people say I should be down. But what that's going to do, and then that sweet, small, still voice of God, before you know it, God will have you looking at that storm eyeball to eyeball. As you continue to listen to God and not to your situation, before you know it, you'll begin to speak to that problem, and you will see that problem change just the same way that the storms changed in Jesus' day. Praise God. Now let me close with this. As we've been singing and sharing the love of the Lord this morning and been declaring the goodness of God, there's been a picture that's been taking place over here on my right and your left. And let me say, that's the way a lot of our lives are. They're obscure. We can see lines and things, but it's hard to see because the canvas that it's written on and the way that the picture is so obscure in our life. But I tell you what the peace of God wants to do. The peace of God wants to bring that which God has been doing behind the scenes, the peace of God will allow God to bring it to the forefront in all of our life. To even though that it was hard to see, somebody said, Jerry, I'm just trusting God. I'm just trusting God. God's going to see me through this. But if we'll choose to have peace, to stop and say, you know what? I'm not going to be fretting over this. I'm not going to be anxious over this. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put a big smile on my face because I have the joy of the Lord and the devil can't take it away from me. And I'm going to trust God. And then before you know it, our obscurity will begin to sparkle. And all of a sudden, as we look more and more, then we can see, God, you were doing something beautiful in my life. How many of you believe that God is doing something beautiful, no matter if you can see it or not? In the close, let me share a quick testimony with you. One of my most precious ladies in this church, I love with all of my heart, is Bobby Sheffield. Now, Bobby's been a part with me. I've been pastor here 40-something years, and Bobby's been with us a large part of that. Bobby was at a ministry that she helps minister in just a few weeks ago. And as she was in that ministry just a few weeks ago, she went home. When she went home, death attack. Bobby had not been sick, nothing wrong, nothing going on. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the night, death attacked. The doctors readily recognized that it was a death, and they immediately got her into Little Rock area. And then in 2 days' time, the doctor was saying, she's not going to make it. They put her on life support. The doctors come in and said, we're fixing to take her off because she's not making it. They thought she was dead. They thought she could not make it. I was there when the doctor came in and told her how bad it was. And her precious daughter, Debbie. It's an amazing thing about peace. You don't have to be a big individual for the peace of God to use you to change and make a miracle in your life. Debbie's a little short lady. Debbie is Bobby's daughter. And Debbie has this sense. And Debbie really loves the Lord. But I've never seen her in this light. Well, I was not there at that particular time. Stephen wasn't there at that particular time. Brother William wasn't there at that particular time. But they finally came in and they said, it's time for us to take her off. She's not going to make it. We've tried and given her this time these many days. Now, Debbie could have done a lot of things. She could have been that daughter that just dropped to and just began to weep and cry. But Debbie knew that if I can hold, God has a plan in this, if I can trust God. And so what Debbie did, she called me. And she said, Jerry, she said, they've just told me that Mom died about 15 minutes. And so I gathered quickly those that were in the office there, and we began to, I tell you what, man, when you get somebody standing with you that can believe God, it's a miracle thing. And all of a sudden, Debbie, I began to gather, and they'd come running in the office because we have to do that from time to time. So when you're in a need and you call us, then we bind together with you to believe God with you. You may be in that battle, honey, but you've got 100 people behind you or so that's going to stand with you and believe God for that breakthrough. And in that office, so we quickly joined hands. We quickly believed God together. And when we quickly believed God now, Debbie said, what do I do? Well, I just said, Debbie, I want you to speak that peace to her. I want you to just walk over to Mom's body, and I want you to say, live in Jesus' name. Now, we were all binding our hearts, all praying. Now, I've been in similar situations where it didn't happen like this, but I want to tell you how it happened in this situation. Debbie, the little quiet lady, so easy. She didn't want to bother a doctor. She didn't want to bother anybody. She eased over there. I tell you, there's something about the peace of God. There's something, if you won't get caught up in the anxiety of the moment. And Debbie had the peace of God. And she just walked over to her mama. And she said, Mama, wake up. All of a sudden, the little eye began to glitter. I was visiting with her yesterday. We had a glorious time with Bobby. God brought her out miraculously. Miraculously. And the amazing thing about it is, there was one precious doctor, and I tell you, I love the way God uses doctors. I love the way when God uses the medical profession and allows them to be hands and instruments of the Lord. Now, God doesn't have to. He can do a miracle, but I love it when He uses people. And one doctor walked in there right prior to that and said, should be gone like in 15 minutes. There was something about 15 minutes there, and she has no way of making it. Another doctor walked in there 15 minutes later and said, don't listen to that other doctor. I did. God's got somebody he can talk to. Amen. Because it is. Now, I don't know where your life is today, but we want to close this service. There is an anointing for the peace of God. I can sense the peace of the Lord as I stand up here. I can sense God's peace desiring to be able to come into every person's situation and give you a peace. And that peace will not stop until that peace rules that chaos that's come against you. The peace of God has the power to silence any storm. I'm going to make two calls. One call is, if you're here today and if you're not sure things are right with God, maybe you've royally messed up, or maybe you've never accepted the Lord. The first thing that you got to do, you got to get peace with God before you're going to have the peace of God. So you got to get peace with God. I'm going to invite you to come. And then second, and at the same time, I want to invite you that's going through a hard situation. You're facing a what you would call a desperate circumstance, and you don't have the peace of God. You know that. You know that thing is really wagging you, and you're not able to wag it. And you know that that thing is wearing you down. I tell you, God's got help for you today. That's why God sent us here to talk to you about peace. Because God has help for you today. God has a strength and a power that He wants to bring into your life. Honey, that's going to cause you to smile in the midst of the storm. And then God's going to cause His power to flow and calm that storm. Everybody say, peace is not over until peace calms the storm. Peace is not just a feeling. Peace is a power.